Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. This is Jen.
And this is Carrie. And on today's show, we are in part 4 of Shattering Loneliness. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Everyone, thanks for tuning back into New Every Day. We're in part 4 of Shattering Loneliness, mm-hmm. and last week we looked at how God is all
present.
First time, for the show previous to that, we looked at how God is
all-knowing,
omniscient, omnipresent.
Yep.
And we had a look at darkness and how, because God is light, it says in Psalm 139, verse 11 to 12, it says, mm-hmm. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright mm-hmm. as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And Jen, you kind of alluded to the fact how sometimes there's dark times in our life.
Yes.
That can be very isolating and alone. And mm-hmm. I thought about that in the nature of darkness and how when you turn out the lights or you're by yourself in the dark, you can't perceive yes. what's around you. You can't see who's with you.
Yes.
And it brings fear. But when the light turns on, when the light of life comes yes. into your life, he opens your eyes and you're able to see that the Lord is with you.
Yes.
And he affirms it through sometimes other people in your life.
Yes.
And you realize that I'm not alone.
Yeah. Psalm 23 is often interpreted, King James, I believe, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some interpretations are, and even though I walk through a dark valley, you are with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that idea of even when you go through these dark times, the Lord is with you because it's not dark to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. I enjoy walking around in the dark because I've just figured out where things are. So it's interesting because I'm not afraid to be in the dark when I'm in a familiar place because I know yeah. where things are. And it's interesting because sometimes in your life, things can feel dark, but because it feels familiar, it doesn't feel bad. Like, because you just know that God's there. I find, but when you go into a new situation that feels dark, that's when the fear can come in because it's new to us.
But God says He's hemmed us in behind and before. He yeah. goes before us so that every situation can be familiar because
yes.
we're familiar with walking with him.
Yes. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what kind of darkness you might have found yourself in. Like, he is there. Mm-hmm. And not only is he there in the midst of our darkness, so he's also there at the very beginning of when we were created, and that's what we're sort of getting into in this next part. I love how David has put this psalm together,
because
mm-hmm. he talks about how much God knows us, and then he talks about how much God is with us, but then he talks about the almighty power of God and how great and awesome God, can actually come down into wee little us
yeah.
and be so involved in us. Which talks about his all-powerful nature.
Yeah.
Like, he is not restricted in any ways. So do you want to read yeah. that passage for us, starting
sure.
at verse 13?
Psalm 139, verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
Wow. Like, there's so, like, I guess, the image that keeps coming to mind is great and powerful and awesome God who leads out the starry host, which is what we said in Isaiah, then has sat down, I can imagine, because I sit down when I create things, I crochet. And so I just crochet things, but
with your needle.
With my needles. Crochets with one needle, knittings with two, just in case you don't know.
Some people don't know.
But the thought that goes into every stitch, the wrapping the yarn around, the putting the click, click, click of the needles together, making something, and how it's not just poof and it's there.
It's planned.
It's planned.
Because if you look at the intricacy of how the body actually works, and each piece of DNA provides the information for something else, which that structure in the body is going to influence this structure and this cell and this metabolic process and this blah, 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 blah. Everything is connected and so wonderfully complex and yet so unique that each person is so unique. Our DNA is our own information.
Yes.
And yet there's common processes in within each one of us and God knows that.
Yes.
And, you know, when we talked about in episode one, not episode one, but one of the series, Shattering Loneliness, how we desire to be known.
Mm-hmm.
And this is saying that God recognizes and established your uniqueness.
Yes.
And took the time to make you unique.
Yes, like it wasn't an assembly line.
No.
Like,
here come the waggers. Here come the webs.
Yeah, like it's no, like he knit us together in our mother's womb. Like he knit us. And if you're a craftsman, you know that when you make something, there's a plan. But when it's complete, you sort of just sit back and go, wow.
This is good.
This is good. And there's a pride, like a good pride that comes. And you're just like, wow, like that's good. And you're pleased with it. And as I think about this passage from a crafting point of view, a craftsmanship point of view, I'm just like, wow, God, like, do you do that with me? Like, did you finish creating me and step back and go, wow, like, that's good work. Mm. Like, it's so powerful. And where my version says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The fear of the Lord, that's fearfully. It's not like, woo, I'm afraid. But it's fear in the sense of awe and intimacy.
Okay, so what do you
So when it says that I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, like when you talk about the DNA, you just go, wow, like isn't that wonderful? But fearfully means that I've been created with awe and intimacy. Like it goes back to the knowing before a word is on my tongue, before a thought comes into mind, like before my things are all connected inside of me.
Yeah.
Like you were there, you're intimately aware of how my DNA is flipping on. You are intimately aware of how my connective tissues are coming together. You are intimately aware of how my brain cells and my neurons are functioning. Like you are intimately aware of all these. So we can step back and say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made because God is aware of every process. And I give thanks that I'm healthy. And so I can take great joy in this passage because I'm physically healthy and I praise God that I am healthy. And yet, what about people who are not perceived as healthy?
Yes.
Or born with a birth defect or what we would perceive as a birth defect or be like developmentally delayed or handicapped in some way. And we can say, well, would God still sit back and say, well done?
I think that's a point that many people have pondered. So take a minute to think about this while we take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hey everyone, welcome back to New Every Day. Thanks to all the people who make this show possible, to our partners. Go to our website, neweveryday.tv, check out our partners page there. Mm-hmm. And Jen, you left us with a very important point to ponder, that some people, it would seem that maybe God dropped a stitch when he was knitting them together.
Yeah.
And when we look at them, they're not like normal.
Right.
And I think everyone can stop and think of someone in their life. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a good memory. Like this amazing boy I grew up with who had a cognitive impairment and was developmentally delayed and yet brought so much joy to the classroom and like time at recess that I spent with him. And I learned from him about being loving and content. And yet for a lot of people, thinking about how people are sometimes seemingly born with some kind of defect, mm-hmm. it brings a lot of heartache.
Yes, because they're seen as different. It seems like we have created the ultimate human, right? And Carrie and I were just having this discussion about weight this morning and extra pounds and just the frustration that comes because our physical selves don't measure up
to what we think is
the ideal.
Yeah.
And I have the blessing of working with a young man in the summertime, and who was born with his hand is malformed. Like, he doesn't have five fingers like this, but just sort of very short digits. And it's different than mine. And one of the kids at camp said to him, "Why is your hand like that?" And I loved his response. He's like, "God made me this way. And I'm okay with that."
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure he's, you know, I've never really had a conversation with him, but as I've watched him, he's never allowed what my perception of an impairment, he's never allowed that to hinder what God is calling him to.
Yeah, so good.
And it's interesting because I think the verse that dropped into my mind was, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Like, our call isn't to go, that's too bad that God made you that way.
Yeah.
That's too bad that God let that happen. Maybe God dropped a stitch. Like, our call is actually to see what God is doing in their life and to help bring that forth. Just like their responsibility to me is to see what God is doing in my life and bring that forth. Like, we are called to love one another, and we don't know why God does what he does. But part of what I think our problem is, and I'm going to say it's our problem, my problem, is we have created what we think is the norm in this world. Like, everybody should have 10 digits on their hands and their feet, and everybody should have a perfectly formed face. Like, how many people would say, who struggle with acne, "Well, why did God make me this way?" Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's an idea that as much as we want to be known as individuals, we want to fit in with everybody else. And so I think part of us truly experiencing all of who God is and this concept of shattering loneliness is we have to be at peace with God.
Yeah.
So in those areas where it seems dark or that we're struggling, are we willing to surrender them to God? Like, "God, I don't know why you made me this way."
Well, because that can be very isolating.
Yes.
If you're looking at your physical self and saying, "Well, God knit me together, he's made me complex, but it's not the right complexity that I was hoping for or thought
other
would be working well.
Or other people will find acceptable."
Yeah.
Like, yes.
And yet, okay, if you think about if we're supposed to be showing that kind of love towards one another by not only accepting them, but I think in acknowledging that they're still made in the image of God.
Yes, they are.
And yet we live in an imperfect world because of sin.
Yes.
And things happen because this is not the perfect world that God created, but sin has marred it.
Yes.
And yet, though the outward man is being wasted away, the inward man can be renewed day by day, and people are still made in the image of God and don't have any change in their value. And I think it is shocking and counterintuitive when the person who knows and loves God can say, "No, that person there, they still have just as much value as everyone else because God has made them."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a conversation regarding my sister who was hit by a car and had a brain injury. And someone had said to me, "Well, when you get to heaven, like, she won't have that." And I'm not really sure how to respond to that, because part of what transpired in that accident made her who she is. And like just brought out her loving kindness and her joy at being with people and her laughter. So I think sometimes we think when I get to heaven, everything will be perfect, but we don't understand what the perfect is.
Yeah.
Right? And we think in our heads, we have this idea of, well, I won't have this and I won't have this. And because we see them as faults. But I have an idea that when we get our new body, our glorified body, I don't know what's going to look like. I think we will be nicely shocked. Nicely shocked.
Nicely shocked.
When we just go, I never knew that, Lord. I never knew that whatever was actually part of being made in your image.
Because so, I think our view of beauty is also skewed.
Yes. Yes. Or people want to say, well, because there's sin, because, you know, your mother drank she took drugs while you were being formed, that all this, and that might actually be true, but that person is still made in the image of God, was still knit together in my mother, in the mother's womb.
And isn't it interesting that, you know, the qualities that you just talked about your sister having were accentuated even though there was some marring.
Yes.
And it was the unseen qualities. So it's like what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Yes.
And like those loving qualities are what makes her more like Christ in a way.
Yes. And so when we talk about when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It goes back to the plan. Like, God has a plan and purpose for all of us. In Psalm 40, it says, how wonderful, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. How many are the wonders you have done.
Yeah.
No one, and it says, the things you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. Like,
because we don't know.
Because we don't know. But isn't that wonderful? The things you have planned for us are too many for us to. So you have plans for us. No matter how we perceive one another, God knows us. He's with us all the time. No matter what state we find ourselves in, He has things planned for us. And so often we go to the Jeremiah 29:11, like, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you. But there it is in Psalms again, written by a totally, you know, different generation who says, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have made.
Yeah.
Made. I want to encourage us today as we close off to surrender what we would perceive are the marred areas of our life.
The isolating areas.
The isolating areas. And we could even, you might have even said, well, because I'm like this, nobody wants to be around me. Mm. Or because I'm like this, nobody, it's awkward to talk about people. I encourage you to surrender that to God today and to say, Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you teach me about me today? Would you reveal to me what you see in me? And would you help me to walk in confidence and courage because you have made me?
Yes.
Because when I had this picture when I was younger that said, God don't make no junk. Because He doesn't.
He doesn't.
And sin wants to come in and put that covering over eyes to say you are worthless. God made a mistake when He made you, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. So your homework this week, should you choose to do it, is to sit before the Lord and to ask Him these questions, or to pray this verse and say, Lord, make these verses come alive in me. Help me to believe that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that you saw my unformed body, that you were there, that you have plans for me. That verse from Psalm 40 is Psalm 40, where it says, Psalm 45, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. If I were to speak and tell them, they would be too many to declare.
And even the middle of Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me."
Amen. So, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you have created us and you know us. And Lord, you care about us. You are all powerful and you work all things together. And you desire for us to know you. And so, Lord, as we've talked today about shattering loneliness and that your all-powerful hand knit us together, for some of us, we are struggling with that. Why did you put me together like this? Lord, I ask that you would meet with our viewers who are experiencing that right now, that your peace and your comfort would wrap around them, and they would allow you to speak to them. Lord, help them to seek you out. Draw them to yourself. Speak your peace into their heart. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Jen, I have really appreciated this, talking about loneliness that I think is so relevant today. And we just encourage you to go through Psalm 139, read it for yourself, own it, speak it, pray it, believe it. And we're going to see you back here next week, same time, same place.
Same time, same place.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.